Great. So welcome, everyone. It is drop-in class. I'll make the date. It is the 28th of May. It is the year 2022, and we are doing a drop-in class. And I wrote the title down so I don't forget because it's a longer one today. The theme for today is learning how to relearn via somatic movement awareness. Now, for some of you, this is going to be old news and you've done this before and you're here to practice and just be in a really, you know, practical experience today and be guided. And for some of you, this is your first class. And so we have all different levels. I keep drop-in fairly basic, but basic doesn't mean that it's not going to be juicy and good and transformative. Again, for those who have been around the block a few times with me, really put your beginner mind hat on. And of course, for the beginners, you will have the beginner's mind hat on. And we're going to play with these concepts along with the basics of what I call nervous system health, which are orienting, connecting to the environment under us, around us, following our breath, following impulse. Obviously, I'm Irene. I don't think I said my name. I'm Irene. So we'll be playing with these topics today. And the only kind of general housekeeping for everyone here is to really honor your limit and be truthful to yourself. And by that, I mean, if there's a little something in your mind that says slow down or that's enough for now or pause, really listen. So everybody raise their hand and swear the oath of somatic awareness that you will, or both hands, that you will really listen. And for some of us, this in itself might be a new thing. If you're used to going to classes where you push and exert and go past your limit. Now, sometimes in an exercise class, we do need to push and exert a little bit, but in this kind of learning, we really want to keep things in good regulation and titration. And so I'll explain a few of those things as we go along. So the other thing, I might during this class teach an option if you're standing up. You don't have to. I'm going to teach this as if I'm on a stool right now, and I won't get up during the class. But if you are on a chair of some sort, have something such that you have space around you so that you could bend forward, so that you could move to the side. So what we could say is have enough space that your arms could kind of be around you freely so that you're not hitting a wall, or if there's a coffee table in front of you, maybe push back. If you have to move somewhere else into your space to be on a chair, that's fine. And if you want to stand up at any time, you can also do that too. So we'll play with those options today. All right. So first off, one little basic. We'll start with some basics. And then I'll also be feeding in little bits of theory. That's how I teach. I'll put little bits of theory and neuroplasticity learning in. But just to start, take a second to actually disengage from your computer, your tablet, your phone, whatever you're watching this on or listening to. And again, for those new, if I need to show you something visually, I will say, have a look. So I can just be this voice coming to you. You don't have to necessarily see me unless, of course, you want to. So take a second to just bring your eyes and your focus, and even I am going to do that as I say that, away from the screen. So reorient outside of the flat screen device that you might be using. And this basic nervous system health concept of orienting is one of the back pocket tools that we bring ourselves back to in this world of nervous system health over and over again. And it's a fancy way of saying reconnect to the environment. Reconnect to the space around you. Let your eyes softly see and check out maybe to the space to the left. Maybe it's in front of you. Maybe it's to the right. Maybe it's something below. Maybe it's something above. There's kind of endless options for what we can look and see towards or to. If we think of a sphere of 360 degrees around us, there's a lot of what we would call in movement science, degrees of freedom. And we're going to play a little bit with that today. So notice as you orient and connect to the environment around you, is there any mind thinking chatter? Is there any little, and if it is, that's fine. Just notice it. Is there a chatter of remembering something that you forgot to do earlier or something that you have to do later? Is there a confusion? What is this all about? I don't understand why this is important to my nervous system, right? That can be a very common question when we begin, if this is new. So just notice those thoughts, or maybe there's a thought of, I've never considered just connecting with my environment and seeing what's around me. And the word I'll use is explore. Have an exploratory orienting response. And also see if this has just been done with your eyes and head. Has your body moved? More of your body moved? Has any of your shoulders or ribs or pelvis or legs come along for the ride? And I know I didn't mention specifically how to move, and that was intentional. So to just notice what your natural impulse is to connect with the space around you. How's your temperature? Are you warm? Are you cool? Is your temperature in a good state where you are able to settle, or are there some cold toes or hands that could use a warm up or a pair of socks? Or do you need a sweater, or do you need to take off something because you're a bit too warm? So listen even to that physiological sign of temperature. Now, I mention that because our temperature, when it's a bit off and distracting, it can take us out of really landing in our present moment. I love it. I already saw someone getting up to go get something. So, and listen, if there is an impulse to change something or to get something, is there a part of you that is not allowing that to happen? So really follow that biological need to connect with that physiology at this base level of temperature regulation. Is there any thirst in your throat? Is there a need to shift a position? Are you a little uncomfortable and maybe the way that you're resting, you need to change something? Now, as simple as some of these basic first level questions are, I'm going to bring us all the way back to think about our earlier years when we were little babies, because that is a certainty. We all were babies at one point in time. And when we're really, really wee and little, it is a necessity that we have an older, more mature person that can be there to help us regulate these things. Because we can't put on a sweater or take off a clothing piece. We don't feed ourselves. We have to make sound and be attuned to so that we get that self-regulation through that co-regulation. Throwing out a few higher level words here, but that is how we learn to regulate our nervous system when we're really, really little, is through another person. Now, of course, we don't have that other person with us here. They might be long gone, and that's fine. And this is why I really stress as these basics, this following of your impulse, so that you can offer yourself what your system needs, so that your system starts to feel, I'm going to use the S word, safe, a bit more safe in your skin, a bit more settled. There's another S word, safe, settled. And in our somatic self, there's more S's, never even thought I'd bring that in today. So all these safe, settled, somatic, soothed. And so just tune into these basics. And again, noticing as you orient, the next line that I might bring in is your breath. So have you noticed your breathing? Have you noticed your breath? As I say that, is there an awareness to how you have been breathing, or maybe it was already there to begin with? And it's not to change your breathing. However, the moment I mention breathing, there might be something that does shift, because we do have this higher brain of ours that listens and hears a word, and then we connect it with, maybe there's an exhale, or maybe there's a realization that your throat has been a bit tight. So to just do a gentle awareness, a scan of how your breath has been or how it is now. And there's no designated, this is how you should breathe in my classes, at least not in these drop-in classes, in this one specifically, other than just let the air come in and let the waste products of your metabolism, which is the exhale, come out. Just an easy exchange between the oxygen that is all around us. That's another certainty here on Earth. The oxygen is coming in through the physics of our diaphragm and our breathing apparatus. It's bringing nutrition and oxygen to our cells, and then it's coming out. Just really easy with the breath, but also noticing if there's any spontaneous sighs. So if during, again, our time together, there's a desire to take a deeper breath or to have a big sigh or something, or a yawn. I see a few yawns coming out in some folks. Really let that happen, because that can be a sign of the soothing, of the rest, digest of what's called our parasympathetic come through. And everyone's yawning now, so it's contagious. So notice if that starts to occur. And the cool thing is even though we're not all in the same room, ain't that interesting that we're all connected to that cue and we're starting to actually feel our physiology a little differently. So few basics that we've just moved through. As a review, connecting to the environment through orienting, seeing, noticing our breath, following the impulse to take care of our physiology. And then the one that I haven't mentioned directly would be, can you sense the ground or whatever it is that you're on under you? That might be a chair. That might be the floor, that might be a couch, that might be your feet. If you're laying down, I see a few folks who are actually on the ground, which is fine. Do you feel your back against the floor? Is there any movement in your body naturally? And all of these questions are in service to just tuning in, dropping in literally to the system, in the present moment, these few pieces that we just went through on their own can be very nourishing and offer a pause during our day. It's not about trying to clear the mind or try to focus on one thing, which has a purpose in, say, classic forms of meditation. But in this instance, we're really trying to get into this connection with the environment, noticing of self, noticing of what's under us, and then connecting them both together. So just tune into your state of being right now. Notice what's happening in your physiology, in your body. And before we move to the kind of, we could say, the next part or the next step of our practice today, let me know in the comments, just a, you know, a handful or a dozen or so, what are, if it's easy, only if it's easy, and there's no obligation to share, but if it's easy and you'd like to say how you're noticing yourself now, or what you've noticed, or what you felt in this first sort of 10 to 15 minutes. Someone said sore feet. Yeah, sometimes when we bring our attention, we feel the little aches, sleepy. I'm feeling inside my body more, grounded, tranquil, full belly, present more cell, more, let's say that again, present more slow. It's easy, but I am crying. Yeah, there might be some emotion. Sometimes the act of just coming back into this environment and reconnecting with self can bring up not only sensation, but emotion of all kinds. Grounding and expansion, heavy, a buzzing sensation, a lot of yawning, a little emotional, fidgety, calm, cold feet, needed socks, yes, tense, shoulder tension, struggling to not dissociate. Thank you for your honesty. Yeah, this can be as simple as it is a task to stay present in the present moment, especially when we know we've had stored traumas in our body and there's been dysregulation and unwellness in our system. Vulnerable being with all of you. Yeah, this is a, you know, we've got a good big class here and lots of energies. So feel that vulnerability and know that, you know, you can pull back a little bit, turn off your camera, obviously, if that feels better. Restless legs, that's a sign of feeling the underlying fight flight in the body. Sometimes when we actually bring ourselves more into the present moment, we will feel the adrenaline, the survival stress in our system. All right, thank you everyone. Yawning, sore throat, I'm sleepy, grounded. All right. Thank you, thank you. All right, well, quiet the chat down now. So this idea of learning how to relearn through our movement, this is a very, from my line of training, Feldenkrais. So the inventor of the Feldenkrais method, his name was Moshe Feldenkrais. It's one of the things I'm trained in, the Feldenkrais method. I call it Feldenkraisian learning, just like we would call Jungian psychology is from Jung and Freudian psychology is from Freud and Newtonian physics is from Isaac Newton and so on and so on. So Feldenkrais was a pioneer in teaching movement and awareness and neuroplasticity retraining way back before we even knew that we could change the brain and that we could change the nervous system and heal from things that might have been deemed not healable, like stroke, for example, neurological deficits. So we're going to work with some basic movement that really is going to come back to, it's not about making movement big and expressive necessarily. However, you can do that if you choose. It's about really tuning in to the beginnings of the movement. So we'll get a little quiet, a little more slow, but the key for you is to bring in and to remember, not ad nauseum, but to bring in some of these basics that we just played with. So now I'm just going to pause to cough. All right. So you can keep your eyes open. You can keep your eyes closed. You can do a bit of both. It's up to you. And the eyes can still be active even when they're closed, right? You can still notice them. So I say that because if there's a pull to want to just go a bit more internal, you can definitely do that, but you do not have to. So I give you the option. For some of us, it helps to sense deeper inside if our eyes are closed. And for some of us, it doesn't feel safe to have our eyes closed. So I will name those two options. And you can also play with both eyes open and closed. And so as you, and I'm gonna teach as though you're sitting, but again, if you're standing or lying down, both works. Just bring attention to your arms, And I said arms, so you might have this noticing of both your arms, or you might notice one and then the other. And there's no right or wrong, but just notice these limbs that we would call arms. And I'm going to say something. And so this is where this is almost like an experiment rather than I tell you what to do and then you do it. This is a very different distinction in the Feldenkrais world. I'm going to say something and you're just going to listen. You're going to stay connected to your breath and the ground under you and all these good things. You could even orient and notice what's around you as I say this. But imagine bringing one of your arms to touch your head. Just imagine bringing one of your arms to touch your head. And the moment I say, imagine bringing one of your arms to touch your head, which arm comes into your mind? Feel it. Notice it. Sense the activation of even your mind thinking about it. And then notice also, is there a little spark of what we would technically call neuronal activity? That's a fancy word of saying the beginning of movement. And then do the experiment, fulfill the experiment like you're in your own little movement lab and start to bring that arm and all that comes with it to touch your head. And then just feel that movement and then come back. Bring that arm to touch your head. And then come back and just pause. Really basic, almost silly basic, right? And think about it for a second and give yourself a little bit of an experimental score in that, did you continue to breathe as you did that? Was there a shift in your breath? Did you keep breathing? Do you know what you did with your breath? Or did you hold, was there a little catch in the breath? So try it again. And again, the slowness, the speed is for you to choose, but slow enough so that you can really feel your arm moving into space to touch your head. And notice just the trajectory that your arm goes and where does it touch? Where does it touch? And then come back. And again, just as I mentioned, your breathing, were you able to sort of, and maybe you were breathing completely easy and normally, and that's fine. Or maybe you did notice, I held it a little bit, or I did an inhale on the bringing to the head, and I did an exhale when I dropped my arm down. So just lots of things to pay attention to. And then pause again and notice which arm you used and stick with this arm. We'll balance it out. But notice the preference. Was this your dominant, we usually don't say dominant arm, do we? We say dominant hand, the one that we might write with, that kind of thing. It was it the dominant side, or maybe it wasn't. I see Mary shaking it. It wasn't. Yeah, it doesn't, just because we have a dominant side does not mean that it will be the one that our neurology chooses. And so I'm going to play another game. Notice how I said arm. How many of you brought your hand to your head? Probably most. And it's okay. It's right. This is, I said arm deliberately, because the arm means a lot. It could mean the upper arm, the lower arm, and the hand. And yet we interpret it as hand to the head. Now, again, this is what's so interesting with language. Our hands are so rich in our brain. They're really what guides us through the world. We really need our hands as humans. So what I want you to play with now, what are some ways that you can bring other parts of your arm to your head? Same side. So if you used something, and of course I know it's hard to get you can't get your elbow usually to your head. But what are some other parts of your arm that can come to touch and connect with your head? And how can you find, at least, pun intended, a handful of ways to bring your arm, this arm that you've chosen, to touch your head? And your head is a big space. It could be your ear, your nose, your chin, your hair, the back of your head, your mouth. And just be a little, you could be a little even silly with it. In one of my training calls earlier this week, someone said, Irene, how do we play as adults? And so if that person is here in this class right now, this is one way. We're playing with different options, different explorations of this strange direction of bringing the arm to the head, but all, how are the different ways? And this arm twists, right? We have twisting capacity and rotation capacity within this arm of ours. And just again, breathing, this is again, breathing, bringing back those basics. Can you feel the ground? Can you sense your breath? It's like you're just really being delicate and careful and interested. All the different ways that you can touch, connect, move this arm that you've chosen to touch your head. Have you crossed over? You know, if it was the right arm, are you moving over to the left side of the head? Breathing. And then have a rest. Just let this arm that you've chosen, I really hope you've stuck with the one arm, let it rest and just do a little bit of what we would call tracking, a little bit of a noticing of your right to left sides of your body. Just almost in a meditative state, just tune in and notice what you notice. The sensory awareness on your right side compared to your left side. And when I now say that idea, bring your arm to touch your head, feel that idea now that we've played with these different movements and different potentials, these different explorations. Now we're going to do one more little experiment with the same arm, with the same arm. And of course, as you now know, it can be the hand, it can be the wrist, it can be the forearm. How can you bring your head? I'm going to change this. How can you bring your head to touch your arm? What would it be like to bring your head to touch your arm? Now, the arm can move. But now imagine you're initiating from this upper part of your body. And what would it look like? What would you do? How could you experiment with the many possibilities of moving your head to touch this arm? What would that be? And notice if there's any uncertainty. What does that mean? Is it a welcomed movement? As a hint, it would mean, and I'll show you in a moment, it would mean that you're going to have to bend and move something in your spine. You'll have to soften a little bit through your shoulders, your neck, your ribs, such that you're moving your head from its center over or down, right? So it's this ability to now move the head to come towards the arm. Doesn't mean that the arm can't come towards the head. There's a left and a right. Do you side? Can you side bend the head, the neck? What if you were to lift the head up to go back and bring the hand behind? So see the creativity. How can you teach yourself some different ways of moving this upper part of your body, this upper part of your spine? Even your eyes, can the eyes look towards the arm? If we want to get fun with this, how about bringing parts of your mouth to touch your arm, to give your arm a kiss? Give your upper arm a little smooch. Neurologically speaking, this is a very advanced action in that we're activating the mouth, which has massive real estate in our higher brain, right? Again, this might sound crazy. Again, it depends on, you know, if you want to, if you're keen doing this, but you could even lick part of your skin, right? Activating the mouth, the tongue. It's your arm, so it's probably okay to do that. You give a little suction even. And then imagine bringing the arm to the head and the head to the arm. So now one isn't necessarily driving the other. They're connecting together. The head's going to the arm's going to the head. Backwards, forwards. Can you bend to one side? Can you bend to the other side? Be as weird as you can. Be as experimentive, that's a word. Experimental, there we go, as you can. Playing and breathing. Can your throat be soft? Can your eyes be easy? And then let that rest. And then just come into just being quiet and settled and sense what you notice in your body, in your awareness. What has happened in your system? Are you noticing anything interesting? different, confusing. One of the hallmarks of how we learn when we're young as babies, or one of the key ingredients to good brain development, is movement in a little one, that they're played with, that they're touched, that they have space to roam. If you've ever had the joy of having a little newborn, and or having a friend who has one, and they get their, you know, their mouth wants to go to everywhere, and they're gnawing on things, and that's their way of exploring and finding themselves. And it's also building up the spinal movements. And so I'm curious, before we play with the other side, any comments on what you've noticed in this exploration of, you know, I've picked these two limbs, one limb, your head, and this execution, this movement of bringing these two pieces together. So let me know what you are noticing. Opening in the chest and shoulders, softening in the belly. Less jagged, more fluid. One person mentioned some dissociative seizures happened quickly, and I struggled to pull away from them. So thanks for sharing that. Let me, you know, of course, please take care of yourself and listen to these elements. As simple as this is bringing in early neurological patterns. So to really listen, impulse to stretch. Maximize the stretch. I feel solid, grounded in my left arm. Anxiety that led to tears. My body is freer on the side, wants to keep doing it. Bit of activation towards the end. Coming into my body, fluidity, my impulse to roll. So lots of varied expressions of what people felt, yeah? Sadness, reminder to explore more freely, a little neck and shoulder pain. Yeah, so thank you, everyone. Felt awkward and then relaxed into it. So one of the ways that we invite and play with our movement and open up movement is to, in this Feldenkraisian way, ask the body to move in a pattern that is actually not common, right? Very rarely will we bring our head, and I'll show you with this, to touch our arm, right? It's even though we might move our head to do things, if we're driving, you know, we're going to look over our shoulder and move our head down to pick up groceries or those sorts of things. But we're moving in this very deliberate, very intentional way of bridging together. In this case, I chose the arm, not because that was planned necessarily, but it's one of the more closer things that can come to your head, and then your head can come to your arm. One person said, laughed, and then my body released and softened. Yeah, so again, what we're playing with here is these neurological movements, these patterns, while staying connected to the breath, the ground under, and it can be slow. It can even be this gentle movement of nothing too quick, nothing too fast, but just even feeling that trajectory of how your head can move towards the arm, or how the arm can move towards the head. So we're going to play with the other side. And what I'll encourage everyone to play with when they move to the other side, so the other arm, is to see how you can maybe make the movement even, it could be smaller, it could be more intentional. So if I'll be here, of course, as I am, I could even just imagine the tiniest, it's going to be very small, but the tiniest movement of moving my head towards my arm, and then I stop here, and then I come back. So maybe it's not even that you reach to touch, but you feel the trajectory of moving the head towards the hand, the wrist, and then you come back, and then you pause. Then maybe you feel, how can the head move to maybe the shoulder? Or how can you go over to the different side and move to touch the head? So I'm going to give you a little more free rein to play and see how you can create, how you can learn. This is that idea of learning, relearning through different movement trajectories with the other arm that involves the fingers, the hands, the elbows, the upper arm, to move towards the head and the hand to move towards the head, the elbow, the wrist. So to play, we might call this freestyle a little bit, right? So to let kind of your creativity in your body and the movements of your body take over a little bit. So start to play with it. Again, you can start with the arm moving towards the head as a directive for yourself. I'll just mention that, or it might be that you're letting your head move to touch towards the arm, the hand, the wrist. It could be that one movement pattern feels really good and you just feel that. The explorations can come from the part of your face that is on your head, obviously, the skin of your cheeks, the forehead, the ear. But seeing how you can involve and move not just these two limbs, but how now can your spine move a little bit? So I'll bring in this idea of, is the trunk of your body, the spine of your body, staying very still and centered? And if that feels good, that's fine. And then I'll also suggest, what's it like to bend a little bit, to maybe circle a little bit over your pelvis? So your pelvis, which if you're sitting on a chair, is obviously connected to the chair. Can there be a little movement in the hips, a little shimmy through the legs? If you think again of this spinal column that we have, we've got that to move us, to bend us so that our head can move a little easier. How are your shoulders moving? Can they twist a little bit and turn? Kind of like those old-fashioned washing machines that have the little spinner, right? Is there a little way that you can move to circle a little bit? Noticing, of course, your breathing, your mouth, remembering that idea of even bringing the lips to give your skin a little bit of a peck or a lick or a little suction. What are your feet doing? So as you do this, are your feet engaged and pushing a little bit on the ground to support the pelvis? No real rules other than to stay connected to feeling the ground, to notice your breathing, and to be curious and exploratory with this arm and your head. But then, of course, between the head and the arm, there's all this other good stuff of spine and ribs, pelvis, feet, collarbones, shoulders, hips, organs, softening the belly. I haven't mentioned the belly. Has there been a tightness in the abdomen? Sometimes when we're doing something maybe a little new, we'll clench a little bit in our perineum and belly. Can the belly be free so that there's no strain? And then just let that settle, let that soften into sort of a non-movement. Just let the arm that you've been playing with, and I've seen some folks have brought both of their arms up, and that's totally fine. But just have another moment to just pause and sense yourself. And notice what you notice. Notice your alertness. Notice your sense of calm or maybe stimulation. If anybody wants to share in the chat, feel free. We'll keep playing. We still have time. We're going to keep playing a little bit. And just as you sit and rest, just again, come back to that connection with the ground under you, the space around you. One person wrote a little body twitching. So that can be a sign that some old, trapped, what we would call, what my colleagues and I would call survival stress, that fight flight, is zooming out a little bit of that energy, which is what we actually want. We want to have that move through. So if you're feeling a little twitch or a little extra fizzy sensation, just notice it and track it and follow it and stay connected. Another comment, warmth, nice and tingly. So tingly is another sign that things are waking up a little bit. One person, I noticed that I'm holding my breath. This is very common. If you can practice this with free breath, free ease through your respiratory system, that's a huge win, to just do these gentle movements and track that your breath continues. One person wrote, on the right side, I felt more cautious, holding, needing it firmer, but more to the left side by twisting, felt more comforting. Yeah, so we are not symmetrical beings. Even if we try to have perfect posture, you know, our organs are different. We have preferences, we have injuries. And so again, we might not find that both sides are even, but that's where we then get inquisitive. And still, how can we work and be with that side and bring openness and curiosity and awareness to those sides? One person said the back muscles softened. Yeah, the spinal muscles. So that's why I really encouraged to have this open movement. You know, there was no real constraints into how you wiggled and moved and bent and twisted. Interestingly enough, if someone were to come and see me in my olden years of working on a table, Feldenkrais style, and they had back pain, I might actually do exactly what we just did with them. Rather than focusing just on working with the back or the spine, we'd work with everything around it so that the spine can start to open up without being forced. You see, right? And so that's why I brought the head to move to the arm, because that immediately starts to bend the spine. But I'm not saying bend your spine that's super stiff. I'm saying bring the head to touch the arm or the hand. And that can be a very, we could say, tricky way, but it's neurologically neutral if there's been a pain in one area. Just like if someone has a sore hip, I might work with their feet first. One person said, I started off very sleepy, almost numb, and I'm feeling more present. Yeah. This is why, this is a little theory here. When we know we've had stored traumas and accidents and all the things that you're all interested in, we need to bring this body in, right? We need to bring, as I said in the title, this somatic movement. We have to bring in our sensory motor movement actions deliberately so that we can start to repattern how we move in a way that's neutral, that is, has equanimity, if we want to use that word. It's not about trying to get something out of the body, but opening up the patterns. Jaw tension loosened, very itchy. Yeah, itchy can be a sign of something kind of opening up. Pulsating, drawn to tactile sensations. Lying on the floor, someone was on the floor, thank you. All of a sudden, I felt like a cold chill was going through my body. Yeah, so that, again, can be a sign that there is a opening up, a defrosting of a freeze layer, right? We talk about fight, flight, freeze. These chills or these shivers can be a layer opening up within the autonomic nervous system. And that's happening because we're working with this peripheral nervous system that is our movements and our intentional movements. So let's play a little bit more. And again, as I said at the top of the class, if you feel that your system, your neurology is like, that's enough for today, really listen to that. And then we'll finish up with just a few more explorations. So again, if you have that capacity to bend forward, or if you're standing up to bend forward, we'll play a little bit with this. But to come back again, just to, we'll sort of regroup to, can you sense this ground under you? Got your spaces beside you, left and right, right and left, up and down. And to now think, again, to first imagine and visualize, what would it be like to take both arms to touch your head? Now, feeling the execution, the initiation of this movement before you even begin. So can you make this very, very symmetrical such that you can't tell if the right or the left is beginning at the same time? And then to move into that so that you're sensing right and left are moving almost like on a track, the same, and so that they touch and then come away. And again, it could be, and this is where you might stay completely in the center, or you might bend a little left and right. And so just feel, how can you bring those arms to touch a part of your head, and can they come to touch the head at the exact same time? So another trajectory of really, really listening to the corrections that you might need to make so that the arms come to touch a part of your head fairly, fairly simultaneously. Breathing, noticing the ground under you. We could say that we're practicing a little precision here, and that you might find, oh wow, that left arm is really faster than the right. I'm going to slow that down so that they come to be touching at the same time. And then I'll be a little more directive, come to that point of having the arms or wherever they might rest, the forearms, the wrist to touch. And then from there, do a little movement that involves bending a little bit of your waist so that you go a little to the left and a little to the right, almost like you're sweeping the air in front of you, just to let a little bit of movement come through the spine. I just had that visual of when we show kids the elephant, you know, we think about the big animals of the elephant, and we kind of swing as if we're moving back and forth with their big trunk. So of course you can imagine that too, but that's the movement of a little left to right that I'm wanting to portray. And this is where it might, if you can stand up, if that feels good, to stand up and to bring your legs into this so that you're feeling the left to right. But if you're sitting, you can also feel your legs left to right so that the feet, the legs support the movement. And as you have your hands to the head, they can rest at any time. You can just let them drop and then bring them back up. Feel a little bit, rest them a little bit. The real learning here is to be present in that movement and awareness and to know exactly what you're doing, right? That you could name at any point, Irene, I'm feeling my left foot as I go over to the left and my eyes are looking down and my breath is doing this and my hands are on my ears. And as I transfer over, I feel equalness through my feet. And then I'm going to go over to the other side and, oh, it's a little tighter over there. So I'm not going to push it, but I'm just going to move a little bit so that there's almost this running a dialogue that's simple and easy. It has no threat to it. There's no, this is what you have to do. It's just like you're reporting exactly what is happening from a very neutral point of view. And just go into what feels good. Just sense how this can move this body. And of course, when we move our body, our heart rate goes up a little bit. Our blood flows. Our lymphatic system gets to move a little bit. You might find that if you're doing a little bigger movements, your breath rate has to go up to get not only more oxygen in, but express the waste of metabolism. And then just find kind of an ending to this that doesn't just abruptly end, but slowly kind of like a pendulum gets a little less and then a little less to one side. And then a little less to the next side so that you find what might be considered your middle, where you're not one way and you're not the other way, but you're somewhere right in that Goldilocks kind of middle, whatever that might be. And then when you come to that spot, just notice your breath, where you're body is in relationship to the ground, feeling your arms. And just sense what's it like now to do the simple movement of bringing one arm to touch your head. How do you know that now? How do you feel it? Is there something that's shifted in your delivery of that movement and how your nervous system wires sense it? Is it similar? Does it feel more holistic? Is it just more clear? Is there a little more evenness to imagine the other arm coming up, the one that you didn't choose at the beginning? Is there more fluidity? Is more of you involved? Even though you're just maybe moving the arm, can you sense the support of your spine, your pelvis, your feet as you do this? You might notice other things. So we're a little past the top of the hour, but let me know in the comments again if that feels good to you to share. One person said, I never want to stop playing with this. Yeah, well, you could, if you think about the degrees of freedom of the body, you can take This is big or as minute as you want and play with it. Feels more natural, more intuitive. I have more speed, one person said. Arms feeling a little heavy. Arms feel heavy. At one point I felt a bit nauseous and I stopped. Good for listening. And yeah, when we're bringing in the movements of the head, we really want to listen. If there's a little bit of a dizzy or a nausea, pause, reorient, sense. That could be for so many reasons, but to just really go slow with that. Smoother, more intentional, more resistant to get to pick them up. That's interesting. I'm curious to know, is the resistance a resistance, or is it there's more symmetry? And so there's not a preference that's just there. That can sometimes be something that comes up when we equalize a little bit through the physiology. Fingers are more sensitive. Yeah, we've just brought a lot of attention to this, to the skin, to the movement, almost effortless. When not a mental activity anymore. Cool. So yeah, it started mental because I was getting you to think. But if we think about, I always go back to the babies, right? When they're moving at that easy, early time, that year, first year, they're not thinking, okay, I'm going to roll to my left side and I'm going to contract my abdominals and shift my pelvis. And they're just feeling the environment. That's how they're moving. And so this is another element of this work, is to try to get into more of a, we could say, holographic, more all-encompassing or organismic connection with the environment and with our movements. Both arms are tingling. Yeah. So the tingles can very well be that they're actually online a little more and there's more blood and activity following through them. Felt a need to release anger in my face and jaw. Wonderful. Body is heavy. Smoother. Lots more crunching in my shoulders now and really feel neck tension. Thanks for your honesty. Yeah, so here's the other flip side to this, because some of you are feeling more fluid and more connected. Sometimes when we get into these movements, and this isn't a bad thing, but we might feel the tensions that we haven't actually noticed maybe ever, or we didn't realize that there was a lot of survival stress, a lot of armoring and tension in our body. And so then that's information for us to go, okay, I might need to just be a bit more gentle with this. Maybe there needs to be some movements, some body work, that kind of thing. All right. Thank you, everybody. More coordinated, less awkward. I'm going to read this because it's important. I feel so much shame in my body, with my body, that I can't even move. So again, this might seem like a negative comment, but it's not. It's just the reality. If we're feeling a little shame, a little, what we could call maybe embarrassment or uncertainty, again, this is a maybe a first beginning class for some of you. This was a very, as small as this was, it was actually quite advanced, right? You all did really well at being in this and feeling it, but it will bring up perhaps the lack of this exploration. This is actually very important. This might bring up the lack of play, the lack of touch that we had when we were young, that we were allowed to express and find and touch our bodies and explore. And so if there is a feeling of shame or embarrassment or something feels gross, that's okay. But to notice that and to I will say that means keep doing this work, because we're meant to be free in our bodies and to feel them and to explore. Just means that you've tapped into a layer of, there's something here that I need to work with. Numbness, one person said, difficulty staying connected. Same kind of thing. Again, it is this, we're opening up patterns that for many of you, we've never felt before, right? Not many classes get you to touch the arm to the head and the head to the arm in this more distinct way. So What I will say for those of you who are feeling a little shaky and a little, this is really strange, I'm not so sure what just happened, give yourself some time after class. If you can, get outside, feel some fresh air, go to what we would call a really yummy resource, like maybe it's a bath or a cup of tea, or you need to just feel and just contain a little bit. Do something that you know is nourishing for you. It could be having something to eat, right? It could be listening to some music, watching a funny show, but to feel a little bit of this opening that just occurred, and to come back to this, come back to playing with these things and to move with them and experience them with little tiny bits. Another comment, I enjoyed the improv, like dance exploration. Yeah, so it can be very improvisational. And as I said, a wonderful way to also open up some of the pathways in the spine, in the muscles, in the bones. Thank you everyone for your comments. As you can all see, I want to highlight, there's such a wide variety of response, right? There isn't just one thing. And A, to me, that shows, of course, how all individual we are, where we're at in our journeys. But it also shows that something very simple and very directive can open up what we might need to feel. Yeah. So the one thing I'll end with here, if you are very new, know that there are many other drop-in classes that you can play with on my site. All the replays are there. They're the same cost, $19. The themes are all there. So just look through the themes and really go with your gut as to which one you might want to try if you're new. For those who have been around the block with me a few times, keep practicing. We won't have drop-in class again until September. So I'm going to be taking a break June through August, but there's classes from 2 years that you can play with, and just keep working through those classes. If you've gone to classes before, repeat them. If you can't find the recording, just email us, my team, and we'll send you the recording. And then if you haven't begun with my 21-day nervous system tune-up, this is really my base level course that will teach you, why is this shakiness coming up? Why are these expressions of emotions coming up? What does this mean? And of course, more practices. I encourage all of you to get into that if you haven't already. The email that we'll send out to you will have all the information. And thank you, Mara, for hanging out and being here as a support. And just keep practicing, everyone. Again, as subtle as some of this stuff is, this is really going back to those early neurological places. And we're relearning how to learn our bodies, how to be with our bodies, and even to know that we have capacity to direct our limbs to do these things, right? We have control over that. And there's just so many good places and spaces, and sometimes tough places and spaces that we uncover when we get into the somatic system. But we need to get into that somatic system to heal a lot of these, what we would call traumas and dysregulations that I know most of you are wanting to work with and heal. So thank you everyone for being here again. Have fun with this work. Be with this work. Sense yourself. Give yourself a little break. Get away from the computer. Really get some fresh air. That's what I would recommend. And we will see you. If you come back to drop-in class live in September, we'll be doing a few other offerings in June. Summer school is going to come up in June. It's June soon. And yeah, we'll be around. So if you have any questions, just email us, and we will see you next time. Bye, everyone. Thanks for playing. Thank you, everyone. You're welcome. All right. 3, 2, 1. I will sign off now.